All right, church. This morning we are going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. And I had intended to read just a couple of verses to you, but I think I'm going to read about 11. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with the first verse. And I'd ask you to pray for me. I'm working on something I wish to share with you across the next 6 or 7 weeks. I'm struggling with it, and I'd ask you to pray about that. But today, you get 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God is good, and he's good all the time, and I'm thankful for that. As I read this to you, you're going to hear that this church in Corinth has got a little bit of a problem, and their problem is division. And as I begin to read this, you're going to think, oh, gee, the pastor's going to talk to us about splits or division or arguing. That is not at all what we are going to talk about today. But I find it interesting that in the midst of that atmosphere at the church at Corinth, Paul is able to tell us something else that we really need to know. So stick with me and we'll get there. Here's how it reads. But I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. While there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in only a human way? Because when one says, I follow Paul, and the other says, I follow Apollos, are we not being merely human? What is Paul? What is Apollos? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, and that is Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing this morning upon the reading of the word and the message this hour. Show us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 11, your will and your way for us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Do you know that every 2 to 10 seconds you blink? We don't even realize that we blink. If we get into a game of staring, you'll blink less because your brain will intentionally tell you that you lose if you blink. Now, the rest of this sermon, I don't want you to think about that. But I do want you to understand that our brain manages to keep this process going without us thinking about it. It is what is called an automatic reflex action. It's put in place for a reason. God's developed that in us so that we keep our eyes moist and free from debris. The outside corner of our eyes constantly is producing tears if you have a healthy eye, and the tears get wiped around and away by the movement of our eyelids as we blink. It helps to keep our eye lubricated, and the tears evenly distributed across the eyeball for health reasons. When I was a kid, I had to be taught how to do one of these automatic reflex actions, and it had to do with speech. I had a problem with speaking. I couldn't say quite a few sounds well. And so I had a speech teacher, a speech therapist who sat down with me, taught me how to curl my tongue, how to lay my tongue out flat, where to place my tongue to say certain sounds. And I worked at it. Weeks on end I would work at that. But today, now you know that I am not a genius when it comes to speaking, but today, for the most part, I am able to communicate in a conversation without thinking. It's an automatic reflex reaction. You have that with regards to your body. If you didn't have this automatic reflex of your body with regards to body temperature, we would not keep our bodies in a healthy place. So when we're cold, we shiver automatically and we try to warm ourselves up. When it's hot, our body, our brain automatically sweats to keep us at the right temperature. Think about this. If you didn't have the automatic reflex action of balance, when you stand up, you'd risk falling down on your head. It's even true that we have an automatic reflex reaction to sneezing. Something gets in our nose and we don't even know it's there yet, but our brain does, and automatically we sneeze. So I want to ask you today, week after week we come to worship, year after year we say we're Christians and serve as Christians. Is our service to God an automatic reflex reaction? Are we worshiping just because we have learned to worship, or are we worshiping because we're going through some motions? Believe it or not, in the midst of a conversation in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a conversation about division in the church, Paul is going to answer these questions. He's going to talk about, in the midst of a discussion on Christian maturity and Christian maturity and division in the church, he is going to talk to us about these kind of automatic reflex actions that we can have as Christians. So let's take this, beginning with the fifth verse, and look at this one verse at a time. Paul asks the question, what is Apollos? What is Paul? We're servants through whom we have believed as the Lord assigned to each. The word servant here is important. It can mean one who waits upon a table. So in other words, if you went out to eat and someone were to serve you. And Paul is saying that actually he and Apollos and other co-servers in the kingdom are nothing more than those that wait on the table. So what really matters, you see, is the cook in the kitchen. It's the one that's serving up the food. It's the one that's getting things right so they taste right and are cooked appropriately. That is what really matters. The servant simply waits the table. Now, Paul goes on to say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has given the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God that gives the growth. I want to point out to you, church, that Paul's problem is not his brother Apollos. Paul's problem is the idea that we should be distinctly separate as Christians to the point that we are in competition. That our wisdom or our intellect or our human standards of some sort or our rhetoric, our ability to speak, get in the way of really just saying we are all working for the sake of the kingdom. You know, I have, and you've heard me discuss the fact that I have a Facebook page and I put stuff out there from time to time. Last month, I may have mentioned this to you in another sermon, but I took a motorcycle ride and I mounted a camera on the front of the motorcycle and I drove through my hometown. And I posted that up on Facebook. And it was just a lark. I had done it because a friend of mine had done some work there in town, and I wanted him to see it, what it looked like as you entered into town. I was shocked. That thing got shared, and it got shared again, and it got shared again. At the end of the day, I had over 4,000 people look at a video that I put up. And I said to one of my kids, I said, it's the weirdest thing. I put this video out there, and it just keeps being seen by people. I haven't even checked it lately, but it just went all over the place. Sometimes in our day and age of social media, we can get so caught up in how many, quote, likes, how many, quote, shares, how popular we are, and it can become a problem in our life. Many years ago, a grandmother in one of my churches brought her grandson to church with her. He had never been to church before. The son had never brought his kids to church, didn't make an effort to, and grandma started bringing him. And I remember the first Sunday that he was in church, grandma was sitting there, her husband was sitting next to her, and there was their grandson, about 4 or 5 years old, standing on the pew. And as we proceeded through worship, he drank it all in. He saw everything that happened. The organ, the ushers, the offering, the choir. He just took it all in. And of course, then I preached. And at the end of our gathering, I went to the back of the church to shake hands. And as everybody's going out shaking hands, little grandson got up to the door, and Grandma said, "You need to shake his hand." And he said, "I don't want to shake God's hand. I don't want to shake God's hand." He got it all mixed up. He got it all confused. He missed the point. And church, listen to me. Sometimes we can miss that point. Paul says, it's not Apollos. It's not me. It's not the one that plants or the one that waters that matters. It's the chef in the kitchen. It's God that gives the increase. And the reason we sing, the reason we worship, the reason we preach, the reason we feed the hungry, the reason we serve, the reason we teach, the reason that we do what we do is not because of us, but because of Him. It is He that really matters. Church, we need to understand that there is only one pedestal in the kingdom of God. There's only one throne in the kingdom of God. And it doesn't look like a throne that you'd expect. It is a cross. It is a cross upon which Jesus Christ hung and died and passed judgment on all of our human fame and pride and ignorance about what really matters. The throne in the body of Christ, only one person sits there, and it is the Lord Jesus. Paul wants us to understand that. And so he says, the one that plants, the one that waters, they are one. They are one. Back in my hometown of East Liverpool, if you don't know it, I'm sure I've told you before, East Liverpool used to be known as the pottery capital of the world. And just you know, as close as some of you are, well, not quite that close, but just a short distance from my house was the old Hall China Pottery. Now, as a kid, and I mean as a tiny little kid, we'd go over there and walk in the front door. We would go into the manufacturing plant. Can you believe that? Now, sometimes someone would chase you out. But we would just walk in and walk through and look around and see what was going on. They molded the pottery in molds. It was taken off. It was cleaned up. People cleaned it up. Then they'd put it on long boards, and it would be carried as it was dried. It would then be taken and carried to people who would put the glaze on it. Then it'd be put back on those boards, and they would carry it to the kiln to have it fired. It would go through all these processes. And in that pottery, they talked often about piecework. You see, back then, even a cup or a saucer or a plate, it was an assembly line production. It took many people to get the job done. Now, I don't know what it's like today. I haven't been there in a while, and they're closing our potteries left and right. But what I want you to see is that's the point of what Paul's saying. He who plants, he who waters, they do the work and they do the service. They serve the tables. But what really matters is who is putting together the meal in the kitchen. And Paul goes on to say in the 9th verse, "For we are God's fellow workers. We're God's field. We're God's building." Church, when I see that we are God's building, I put two words together, field and building. We are God's field. What I want you to see is that's what we are. We are a place where God wants to see growth. If you were to go and see in Matthew 13, you would see that Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower. Do you remember that? Some of the seed was scattered, and as it was scattered on the path, on the side of the path, in rocky places, and it amongst the weeds. And some of it grew because it landed on good ground. Church, what we need to see is that you and I don't need to be the weeds or the rocks that hinder the kingdom of God from producing fruit. We need to be the good soil. We need to be the person and the people that make a difference. The church is a field that ought to bear fruit, and the tasks of ministry may be sowing the seed, cultivating the soil, watering the plants, or harvesting the fruit, but at the end of the day, we belong to Him. We are His. The church at Corinth had some special problems. There was some divisiveness entering into their life. They couldn't see that even their very faith was a gift from God that God had planted in them. And their center of attention, the thing that they needed to focus on most was not themselves, but on Him, the Lord of the harvest. I saw this week a post on social media that I want to share with you. It comes from a teacher. And in her classroom, she had put, you know, a large poster-sized sign for all of the children and their parents to see when they came into their classroom. And I like this. Listen to it. Popcorn is prepared in the same pot, the same heat, and the same oil. Yet, kernels do not pop at the same time. Do not compare your child with others. Their turn to pop is coming. Church, that applies to us. We're in this together. We may be going through difficult times. Some of us may be going through wonderful times. Some of us may be dealing with certain issues. Some of us may not. But we're going through it together. We're in the same pot. We're in the same circumstance. And at the end of the day, we will not pop at the same time. Don't look at each other. Don't focus on each other, but rather focus on Jesus. And that gets me to my bottom line. And it's a big one. And any bottom line I give to you that I have to explain, we're in trouble. But this one I have to explain to you, because there are actually three subpoints to this bottom line. And here it is. When we selflessly serve as one out of our strengths, Christ is glorified in us. Let me say that to you again. When we selflessly serve as one out of our strengths, Christ is glorified in us. And before I jump into this, I want you to see this, church. There's three points. The first one is diversity. The second one is going to be unity. And the third one is going to be humility. God wants diversity in our service to Him. One person may plow the soil. Another may sow the seed. A third may water the seed. And as time passes, the seeds will grow and they will produce fruit. Somebody else will come along and harvest them. But we're all different. And it doesn't mean that we don't need you because we've got him or her. It means that we need all of us. Our gifts are diverse. I can do some. You can do some. We all can do some. But our diversity is in him. So we take that selflessly. In other words, I don't need to have the emphasis on me. I just need to do mine for Jesus. I don't need to have the spotlight on me. I just need to serve my Lord Jesus. And when we all do that selflessly, we begin to form a unity, which is our second point. The second point is this. God wants unity in our purpose. When you read through this passage today, Paul said this, he that plants and he that waters are one. Paul and Apollos and Peter and anybody else involved were not competing with each other. They were doing what they were assigned to do by the Lord Jesus with each other for his glory. We may all have different gifts, diversity of purpose, or rather of ministry, but unity of purpose. And there ought to be unity in our spirit. What people think of my ministry or of your ministry is not nearly as important as what God thinks is most important. The reward can't be the praise of people. The reward has to be the well done of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally today, God wants a humility in our spirit. God, listen to what Paul said. God gives the increase. It is God that gives the increase. It's not about us, but rather it's about him. When you get to the book of John, the Gospel of John, you see that Jesus speaks there, and he says these words. Listen close. John 4 and verse 34. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." I could end it right there. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. But then Jesus adds to this, and he says, "Don't say to yourselves, there's yet 4 months and then we harvest." Jesus says, open up your eyes. Look around you. Somebody else planted a long time ago. Somebody else watered a long time ago. Somebody else plowed the field a long time ago. The harvest is right before our eyes. Pray that the Lord would raise up those laborers into his harvest. You see, when we selflessly serve as one out of our strengths, Christ becomes glorified in us. So how is Christ glorified in us? And I'm just about to wrap it up, but I am going to give you these verses. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there's no law. Those things ought to be automatic reactions, the same as blinking our eyes, speaking our words. They ought to just come out of the Christian because God has matured us and grown us to that place. I got up this morning, was getting myself ready, and I walked out of the door of the bathroom, and Bo the Wonder Dog had eaten one of my wife's books. He doesn't often do anything like that, but he did it this morning. You see that little self-control thing there in the book of Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit? It's not yet fully developed. The fruit of the Spirit grows in us. That's what God's looking for in us. And secondly, I think what will happen in us when we begin to serve Jesus automatically, we learn how to give, not just financially, but give of ourselves. We also learn that we are able to see that the kingdom of God can grow in the good things that the church does. We'll make a difference in the world. I also think that our worship and our praise to the Lord will grow and be better when we learn how to do things the way Christ does them. Finally, church, we'll see the kingdom grow. We will see the kingdom of God grow when we put it together for him. Paul says in the book of Romans, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you in order that I may reap some harvest among you for the sake of the kingdom. Church, let me just say this to you. What God wants us to do and to be is to be one, even as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. It was God's plan to send his son Jesus to the cross of Calvary for us. That unity of mind, that unity of purpose, that unity of love needs to be in the body of Christ. As Jesus hung upon the cross and looked at us, and I believe he did, we need to serve him by looking around us at others, not with an eye towards what we can do better or how we can be different, but rather towards the sake of the kingdom, that the body of Christ grows to become one in Jesus Christ. God bless you. And I hope that plays.